Recorded live.
This is Just Talking with your host, Robert. Hello, and welcome to Just Talking, host Robert. And hadn't done one of these for a while. Last one I checked, I'd done about a year or two ago, but I thought this would be a special time. As we stated before, we wanted to keep the feeds going here for a while. Lynn and Bobby made a trip over to Philly. So today, this will be the last bonus show. The previous two were commentaries, one for It's a Good Life and the other Kick the Can. So if you want to, make sure you check those out in the archives on Talking Twilight Zone. And today, like I said, this is going to be a bonus one. And since we hadn't talked with them since October, we want to find out a little bit about the trip and also about Talking Twilight Zone, how it was formed. So this is kind of like a two-part show here. So let me introduce Lynn and Bobby. Hello, guys.
Hey there.
Hi there. I'm here, I think.
I think he's here, too.
Hope so, or it'd be some kind of doppelganger. Maybe the doppelganger might be better, Lynn. Who knows? But
you never know.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to hear from you guys. It's been since October, since we last talked with the, I think, wasn't Merle Bank the last one that we did?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Oh, by the way, I found James Best. He was in an episode of The Rifleman as a bad guy. Just to let you know. So there was something different.
Yeah, I recently saw him in Andy Griffith, the Andy Griffith show. He played just a country bumpkin, played the guitar, you know, down and out loser kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, I want to, like I said, welcome guys on today. I think one of the burning questions that a lot of us have, well, before we get started here, I want to remind people, too, that this week, this Saturday, November 24th, we'll be all back again, and we'll be reviewing To Serve Man, so be sure to check out the show Saturday.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, and you'll be on the same time, too. It won't be a three-hour difference.
Yeah, finally back to normal.
Your six is our six.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, the Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I'll go ahead and get started here, and I'll ask the question that, you know, all of us have been wondering about: how was the move? And train ride and everything between
you
guys.
It was absolutely fabulous. That's what happens when you got money and you can have your own private train car with servants and fabulous meals and entertainment and everything. And money talks in this country, as we all know. And so I'm almost sorry that it had to end because it was so wonderful. It really was.
Yeah, but no, if you were younger, though, Bobby, like 20, you know how adventurous kids are, and you know they think this would be kind of a neat experience, never being on a train, but you kind of have a different experience, huh?
Well, this is my second time traveling across the country, and I'm approximately 6 years older now than I was then when I did it, but I'm not sure that really age has anything to do with it. The train is a very, very difficult way to travel. It's a good way to travel for people who love trains, and plenty of people do. There are people who collect train memorabilia, and they have model trains, and they go on trains, and they do all of that, and I can appreciate that they have a good time doing it. But if you're really going anywhere, and you want to get there as soon as you possibly can, it's probably the worst way to travel. It's incredibly antiquated, given that it's 2012, because it takes forever. Our trip from Seattle to Philadelphia, or the outskirts of the suburbs of Philadelphia, took 3 days. And that included two stops, one in Chicago and one in Pittsburgh. I'll talk about that a little later. And it simply is very, very tedious to be on a train. There's nothing going on in there. And I knew that going in because, like I said, I've done it before. But the first time I did it, it was something new, so I tolerated it. And I thought, okay, so, you know, this is something new. But if you've done it before, now you're doing it again. It gets to be really, it starts to grate on your nerves. Now, Lynn and I had a bedroom, not just seats on the train. I don't know how anybody could possibly survive if they simply were sitting in seats on the train. I guess people do it. I don't know how. Because the first stop from Seattle to Chicago takes 46 hours. And there's no stopping at all. It's just 46 incredibly long, boring hours on the train. And then from there to Pittsburgh, I believe, was about, I'm not sure, I think it was about 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah, I think so, 12 hours.
Right, and then from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia was 7.5. And the first time I did it, which was back in 2007, I was coming from Florida. And it took 3.5 days because back then the train stopped in Washington and then went from there to Chicago and then to Seattle. And that took even longer. It was really quite unbelievable. So this time was actually shorter, although it seemed longer to me. And Lynn and I had what they called, well, we had a bedroom on the train because I need it. When we travel, I have to be in a wheelchair from time to time, especially when there's anywhere to walk to. And so it's necessary to have a bedroom. And that's called an accessible bedroom on Amtrak trains. It's for disabled people, although I don't know why, because I didn't particularly find anything in there that would be all that accessible to somebody who's disabled. It's incredibly small. It's like living in a closet.
Yeah, it is.
And if you'd like to look at it someday, you can go to YouTube and simply type in the search box, Amtrak accessible bedroom. And there are a couple of people who have had it who took home movies of it. And it's as small as it looks. There's two
bunk beds. And
they're
excited about it. They're actually excited about it. They're all going to say, and this is the accessible bedroom. And look, there's space for this, and there's space, and here's your bathroom. And they're all excited about it. And I'm thinking, this is what you were excited about?
I didn't have no crazy Russian hiding in the bathroom or somewhere in the bed getting ready to attack you or anything, no?
Oh, it's unreal. And you barely have room to turn around. And they're bunk beds, and I have to climb up these little steps to get up on the top bunk. And you got to be careful you don't bang your head on the ceiling. It was unreal.
Now, I didn't want to do this because I knew it was going to be unpleasant. I really wanted to go on a plane. I called one of the airlines, and the trip across the country is nonstop, and it's about 8 hours from Seattle to Philadelphia. So you can do it in one-third of the day, and that's quite a difference from 3 days. Obviously, the trouble is that you can't be in a wheelchair and stay in it on a plane. You have to get out of it and find your way to a seat, and they put your wheelchair in with the baggage, and depending on the wheelchair, they also have to dismantle it. So that pretty much, and that really surprised me, because I can't imagine in this day and age, with so many laws about disabled people, that it's like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, thankfully I'm not paralyzed or anything. I can walk if I have to. It's very difficult. But what about people who are paralyzed? They can't go at all, because they can't even get out of the wheelchair to go to a seat. So that was
They probably didn't want people to run into airline stewardess while flying.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
And so I stewardess on your lap.
I wanted to take the chance and get out of the wheelchair and just kind of find my way and lurch to a seat, but Lynn didn't like that idea, so she talked me out of it. So we took the train anyway, and so I want to say up front, because I'm going to do a lot of complaining, that I would have preferred not to do it that way, but I did. So be it.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys an 8-12 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Whoa, worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all their children, all of their names, and every handout in every town. Every lock, it ain't locked when no one's around. I sing traders for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no
the train trip itself, like I said, is very tedious. Lynn already mentioned that there are bunk beds in the room. It starts out with two seats that face each other, but you really can't sit in that for any amount of time, because you're going to want to put your feet up, and you can't if somebody's sitting across from you. So you take that, you just push the seats together, and it turns into a bed, if you want to call it that. And there's one on top of it. There are bunk beds that you have to climb into, but there's not a ladder there. There's just kind of sort of what was that? It was like shelving on the side.
There were little,
put your feet
little steps built into the wall
that you had to do to get up there. And then
I have small feet.
And there's a strap up there to strap yourself in. You didn't do that, though, did you?
I didn't really strap myself in,
because
I'm small.
Well, I think it's
kind of
dangerous, because if you get up in the middle of the night, you're a person who just has to go to the bathroom, and you're not thinking where you are. You could just fall right out of it. So I'm not too crazy about it.
I like to live dangerously.
It's very, very small.
I'm adventurous.
I'm of average height. I'm 5'10". That's all I am. And my feet just barely got in there. They were touching the wall when I was laying down. So that was a very close call. Anybody who's more than 5'10 or 6 feet, you can forget about getting in that. That's just not going to happen. There's no way in the world you'll have room. So that's all it is. There's two bunk beds, and then there's a space in the middle. But we had a wheelchair with us, so that took up that space. And then across the room, if you want to call it a room, It's a toilet, and that's basically what it is. That's what's in there. There's nothing else in there. So it is uncomfortable, not so much if you aren't going a long distance. I think it's tolerable for 8 hours, even 12 hours, even one day maybe, but not for 3 days. And my biggest complaint about the train is that it's boring. It's really, really boring. Mm-hmm. You don't see any more in a train than you do in a plane if you're all the way up in the air. You see nothing. I mean, you can go on. I've gone on the internet and had people talking about how wonderful the train is and how you get to see the country. Well, that's a lot of BS, because I've been through Chicago twice in the last 7 years and in the last 5 years, and I have yet to see the city. I mean, the train goes on the outskirts, and you look out the window if it's daylight and it's not nighttime, and you don't see anything. I didn't see any Chicago sidetracks. I saw nothing.
Well, how about when we were going through, like, Wisconsin and...
Did you see something?
Like, No. I'm saying when we were going through Wisconsin, it was nothing but flat, barren land. I mean, there was nothing for miles and miles and miles. We were just looking out at this flat nothingness. There was nothing. It was flat, barren land. And I think there was another city or state we went through that was like that. It was like just flat. And it was nothing. And you would see one car, and I'd be like, where is this car going? And it's like, for miles now, there's nothing. Where could this car possibly be heading? One little car you'd see, or one truck every now and then. Ryan, Dan, you think, you're wondering, where is this going? This person going? There's nothing for miles and miles.
Going to Kansas City, here I come. To Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Bun.
Deserts or rocks, or did you go like to Colorado or any of that area?
No, I didn't see any. Only a couple of times when the train was going through a, I don't know whether I'd call it a mountainous area, it was an elevated area, let's put it that way, went through some tunnels and things, and there was one point when I looked out the window and the train was winding around. So that it was winding around, I could see the front of the train ahead of us as it was making the turn. That's about as exciting as it ever got.
That was actually in Pennsylvania.
Well, it was somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's the only thing I ever saw. I saw nothing else beyond that. And then, of course, there's nighttime in which it's just pitch black and you don't see a single solitary thing.
Oh, no, you can't see anything
at night. If you want to see the country, if you really want to see the country, then you need to get in your car and drive across the country.
Drive, yeah.
That's about the only way you're really going to see it.
That's...
So that's rather disappointing. But this is not a sightseeing trip, and it's not a vacation. It's to get somewhere. So you kind of overlook that. And the purpose is to get from one place to another as soon as you possibly can. I can overlook that kind of stuff. That didn't really bother me. Now, we started out in Seattle, and luckily we didn't have to go into downtown Seattle to the train station there, which is fairly busy. So we went to Edmonds, Washington, which is on the outskirts, and that was very quiet. And we got on the train there, and there really weren't any problems there. And like I said, we didn't stop again for two whole days. I will say this about Amtrak trains. As a disabled person, if you tell them in advance you need help, they do give you help. The helpers are called red caps, and they are very good. They do help you if you need them to push you in a wheelchair or help you anywhere.
Yeah, the red caps were helpful.
Yeah, they do that. And also the food isn't bad, although...
I was going to say that. Yeah, the food's not bad.
Although I didn't eat anything because the first time I took the train, the trip across the country, I didn't eat for the first couple of days, and then I got bored, and I decided, what the hell, I might as well eat, and I did, and I got sick. Not because of the food, because I ate too much. So I was determined not to do this this time. So I didn't eat anything. I just had a few bites of mint spoon.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had a little bit here
and
there.
I had a little bit of hers, and you didn't eat a whole lot either.
I didn't eat much either because I was kind of like, I don't know. I had too much on my mind. But the food was good.
Yeah, the food is
shame
okay.
We really didn't enjoy it because it was
not
free.
Not like being in a restaurant.
You know,
it's part of the price, yeah.
With the price of the ticket, your meals are free, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's a shame we really didn't take advantage of it because the food wasn't bad at all.
Well, I took advantage of it the first time, and I was sorry for it, so I'm glad I didn't do it. But the thing about it is that those aspects of it are, I find, pretty good. But if you're going on a train, you really – I mean, didn't we have our little portable DVD player with us? Did we have that on the train? Yeah, you need to bring something with you to watch a movie or do something because there's nothing
or
to
bring
do.
A book or something to read,
what I did, yeah.
Yeah, you need to have something because it really, really is incredibly boring.
Yeah, I read because they used to have closed-circuit television, but they don't have that anymore. They stopped
that. No, they didn't
that
have the first time I did it, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they stopped it.
Like I said, the room is small, but you're really not going anywhere anyway, so it's not really that big a deal. I can live with the small room, but it's the boredom that really gets to you. And then after 46 consecutive hours, we finally got to Chicago. Well, we didn't spend any time there because the next train was leaving. I don't know how long, it wasn't very long, and that's fine because I didn't want to hang around anyway. And the Chicago train station is just a big cavernous place, as you would expect in a city like that. And very, very busy, like in airports. A lot of people still take trains. A lot of them are commuters. They're not going long distances. But there's still a lot of people in train stations, even today. You would think that people didn't do that anymore, but a lot of people still do. And,
we really didn't get to see much of the Chicago train station, because we came
That's right, because the train was leaving right away, yeah.
Right across the tracks.
That's right,
yeah,
exactly. So you didn't get to see it.
You didn't get off anywhere? No.
We got off the Seattle or the Washington train in Chicago, and then we went on to another train in Chicago.
I mean, the train makes stops on its way to Chicago for other people.
We
didn't get off. We didn't do anything. It just stops for a little bit of time, and then it starts up again, and you don't go anywhere.
We changed trains twice, but we didn't. But it does make stops along the way for other people, you know, various stops. Like Ohio, it made like 5 or 6 stops in Ohio. Columbus wasn't Columbus one? No, Cleveland. Cleveland.
I believe.
One.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
where
I
you
see.
Called me, yeah. Wasn't it? When you went through Cleveland. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, Columbus wasn't.
So I didn't really have that big a problem with it. I was bored to death and uncomfortable, but you know, I knew what I was getting into. I can't complain about that.
city had been pulled down, reduced to parking spaces. Hey, oh, where to go, Ohio?
The train goes and makes its next stop in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, it makes its stop in Pittsburgh on that particular train at 4:20 in the morning, not in the afternoon. And when I called to buy tickets, I wanted to have an accessible bedroom on all the trains because I knew we were going to need it. And I was very shocked when the agent told me there is no accessible bedroom on that train. And she said to me, if you want that, you'll have to get on a different train, and that one will go to Washington and then come up through Baltimore and then go to Philadelphia. And I would assume that probably adds about 2 hours onto the trip. And like an idiot, I turned that down. I thought to myself, and I said, well, how long is the trip from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia? Well, it's 7.5 hours. Compared to 46, that didn't seem like a lot of time to me. So I said, I turned that down, and I would never do it that way again. That was a big mistake. I turned that down, and I said, now, what is on that train? Oh, an accessible, what they call an accessible wheelchair space, which is what I wish they had on the plane, which is just at the end of the aisle. It's at the top of the aisle, and there's just a space for you to sit in the wheelchair there, either against the seat or facing the seat, and your companion, like Lynn's, just sits in the seat in front of you, and that's what it is. And so I said, all right, it doesn't sound so bad to me, 7.5 hours. So we got to Pittsburgh at on time. As a matter of fact, as far as I remember, all the trains were on time. There's never any great delays of any kind, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And we got to Pittsburgh at 4:20 in the morning, and that's where it really came apart for me, because you don't want to. Well, I was in Pittsburgh back in 1970. I was visiting somebody there, but I drove there. I didn't go on the train. And Pittsburgh is not the most exciting place in the world, no matter how you go. But if you're going on a train,
very grimy. It's a very grimy place.
You get to this train station at 4:20 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely nobody there at all. We had to get off the train and walk down the train, where I was wheeled down the train tracks, into this rather depressing, nondescript train station. And it was just me and Lynn and one other man who I had seen on the train. He had some briefcases with him. I guess he's a...
Yeah, he was going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
He was a businessman. And then and there were seats there to sit on. So Lynn sat in the seat, and I sat in the wheelchair in front of it. And next to him was another guy I think had been on the train. He was falling asleep. He kept falling asleep. 4:20 in the morning,
and
the next train doesn't arrive until 7:30. That's 3 hours and 10 minutes in Pittsburgh. 3 hours and 10 minutes in Pittsburgh under any conditions would be a daunting task. But 3 hours and 10 minutes in Pittsburgh in a train station is like ungodly. There's absolutely nothing. And of course, on the floor we were on, there was nothing but seats there. Lynn, you went down the steps. There was nothing open down there, right? There's no stores or anything down there.
There were a lot of people down there, it was mostly for the tickets. And I think there was a little area where you could get coffee and stuff.
Oh, really?
And so
we just sat there for hours and hours and hours, and I was insanely uncomfortable, and so was Lynn. And that was just brutal. I don't know how on earth I even lived through it, to tell you the truth. It was pretty horrible. And finally, it got time to leave. Now, one of the problems with one of the issues I have with Amtrak is that they advertise that they do what they can for people who are disabled or in wheelchairs. And my wheelchair is a little bit wider than most are, not an extraordinary amount, but a little bit wider. And on virtually every train I got onto, it wouldn't get through the door. So I had to get up anyway. They were able to get me up into the train, and then I had to get up and walk down the hallway to the room. So I wasn't expecting that either. So that's another thing you got to watch out for, because if you think you're just going to wheel yourself through the doorway, you got another thing coming. So that doesn't work either. So we waited in Pittsburgh for that amount of time. What choice did we have, of course? We were lucky that it was fall and not the middle of winter, because when we got off the train from Chicago, we were outside. We were on a train platform, and we had to walk down into the train station. It was all out. It was partially covered, but had it been winter.
It was cold in the train station,
It was cold, but it could have been worse. If it was January or February, it would have been intolerable. And so we waited and waited and waited, and finally we got on the train to get to Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia train station is absolutely enormous. It's absolutely huge and was very busy.
The 30th Street station, yeah.
Yeah, we were there on Sunday afternoon, and it was very, very big. Again, luckily, we had a pickup ride with a company that provides a special van for wheelchairs. And he got there just as we arrived. I looked out the door, and there he was pulling up. So we got lucky on that. And then we came to our apartment. I think what really bothers me about this whole train trip that didn't bother me on the first time is that this time we had to wait for our furniture to arrive. So we didn't get to Philadelphia and come to this apartment. We had to go to a hotel. And we spent 12 consecutive days in a hotel
wow.
room. It's a nice hotel. Everything's fine. They have free Wi-Fi access. And they have, well, the worst cable TV in history. It's just basic cable. It's absolutely dreadful. But, you know, I wouldn't wish 12 days in a hotel room on anybody. That's really asking for trouble. And that's because it took them almost 2 weeks to get our furniture across the country. And at first, I didn't have my laptop. We put it in Lynn's car, which also had to be delivered by a company across the country, the same one that delivered it the first time from Philadelphia to Seattle. And we couldn't carry the laptop with us because we had enough to carry, and just getting me around is daunting enough. And so when did your car get there, Lynn? How many days do we have to wait? About a week?
No, it took about, after we got to the hotel, the car arrived about 4 days later, but they had lost the key to my car.
Wow.
Oh, yes,
geez.
Excuse me.
Yeah, they lost the key. Yeah, it called me up on the phone, and she says, your car's going to be delivered around 5 o'clock this afternoon, between 5 and 6 o'clock. But let me ask you a question. Do you have another key to your car? And I said, no, why? And normally I would. I've always had an extra key to my car. But when I moved from Pennsylvania to Seattle the first time around, I actually lost the spare key to my car. So that was the only key that I had to my car. She says, oh, well, he lost the key to your car. I said, you're kidding me. I said, you are kidding me. I said, I do not have a spare key. She says, well, can you, when he gets there, can you call a locksmith, have a key made, and send us the bill? And I was like, no. What I can do is I can call the locksmith, have the key made, and I'll take it out of what I'm supposed to pay the guy when he drops the car off. I said, oh, well, you could do that, too. I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Guess how much it cost me to have the key made?
I forget.
Almost $300.
See, now you learn to have a spare key. Me and my wife does, too. I know you lost it, but it's always good to have one.
I know. It was when I always had a spare key. I had two when I got this car, and I always had them. And when I went out to Seattle, I don't know how it got lost, but I just lost it, and I never had a spare one. But it's one of those keys that has the chip in it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what we got, yeah.
Yeah. And I called the locksmith, and he said it was going to be $280 with tax, $290. And I called them back and told them. And they said, okay, is that the best? I said, that's the best price I could get. And they had to pay. So I wasn't upset because they paid it. I mean, I wasn't going to pay.
Well, they should. Yeah, they lost the key. So
yeah, there was no way I was going to pay. It was so upsetting to me, though, because, you know, that was my car. It was to have the Honda logo on it. This is just a generic key with, you know, no logo. And they lost my keychain that I had for, God, how many years? 35 years. I had a keychain for 35 years. I was one of the oldest things I owned. And I love that keychain. And that's the keychain it was on, and they lost it. So I was really upset about it. I was more upset about the keychain.
Well, anyway, it was quite an ordeal coming over here. And, of course, it was worth it because we wanted to get here. And if that's the only way to get here, you have to do that. Would I do it again? God, I would hope I wouldn't have to. Let's put it that way.
Well, you're from the area. You said you're from Baltimore, aren't you? So,
yeah. Well, the thing about it is that I'm not going to trash Seattle because I never really got to see the city, to be honest with you, not all that much. And we did meet some nice people in the building we lived in, and they were very nice to us. But what I did find out is that it's very difficult to pack up and go across the country. Somehow feel very disconnected when you do that. It's traumatic to move to any new state, but when you move all the way across the country, that's a whole different ballgame. And I really never really got settled there at all. I've moved 5 times in the last 14 years. Five times, three of them to different states, from Maryland to Florida, and from Florida to Washington State, and now back to Pennsylvania. And it's very, very, very difficult to do that. Somehow you never really feel like you're settled there. I was in Seattle for 5.5 years, and I never really felt any connection there at all. I just didn't.
Well, because you couldn't really get out into the community and really sample the life
out
there.
Well, I did when I was in Florida. I didn't have that many problems in Florida, and I got out. I went everywhere to Miami, Orlando, and all over the place, and I never really felt connected there either. Somehow you always, at least I shouldn't mean say that for everybody, it's probably not true for everybody, but for me, you never really feel like you really have settled down. And somebody, who was it who posted the group, Lynn, was it George or Jack, one of them, posted and said, you two are from big cities. So he said he'd been there with his late wife, remember?
Oh, it was
George. Seattle, and he found it to be very boring and dismal.
Well, it is a boring place.
And,
it really is.
And he said in his post, he said, well, you guys are from big cities and from the crowded area in the east, so you probably do miss that. And I think that's a good point. So I never really, I mean, people who live in Seattle love it there. They were born there, and I don't blame them, you know. They're used to it, and that's fine. And I just, you know, I'm close enough to my hometown now. I'm only 90 miles away now that I almost feel like I'm back home. And when I went to, I was thrilled to go to Florida in 98. I thought that was going to be everything. And all I found there was a lot of heat and a lot of bugs and a lot of lizards. And a lot of humidity and a lot of hurricanes. I was in 3 hurricanes while I was there. Luckily, none of them terribly serious. And just there's just too many issues there. There's just too many issues. I mean, if you want to put up with that, that's fine. But I don't. I lived just a little bit north of Miami, and then in Central Florida. And both times there were a lot of issues for me. And speaking of the hurricane, I forgot to mention that when we were in Pittsburgh, when we got on that Pittsburgh train. Hurricane Sandy was coming up the East Coast, and we had heard about it. We didn't know the details, but heard about it.
We
were extraordinarily lucky because, as far as I know, that was just about the last train that went across Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Right after that, that evening or the next morning, Amtrak temporarily suspended
midnight,
all their
midnight
trains.
That night.
Yeah.
Midnight that night. Midnight that Sunday night, they were stopping all service.
Even though we didn't see a whole lot of people in the train station, but by the time that train left to go to Philadelphia, it was packed. There wasn't a seat on it. I think people had gotten on it at the last minute, realizing it that they had no time to spare.
Well, that's what they did, yeah. They even said one of the conductors or one of the ticket guys or whatever they call them, he came around and he said that people were making reservations at the last minute and getting on at the last minute because they knew they wouldn't be able to make their travels. You know, do their traveling after this, so
a real disaster was averted because you can imagine we're in the train station at 4:30 in the morning or 5:30 or 6:30 or 7:30, and they tell us that sorry, but there won't be any trains tomorrow. How long are we supposed to sit there? And I don't know whether we could have gotten.
If we had left a day later, if we had left Friday instead of Thursday, we'd have been.
It would have been a disaster. Yeah, it would have been a disaster. And we were also very lucky, unfortunately for the people in New Jersey, that the hurricane didn't come inland like they once thought it was going to, so it didn't go through Philadelphia or anything. So
yeah,
we didn't get delayed.
Philadelphia, yeah, I've seen
and,
that.
Yeah, we didn't even lose power.
Yeah, so that was a very close call. I think about it
power
now.
In the hotel.
I get extremely nervous when I think about it because it really was a very, very close call. So overall, I would say to people, if you want to take the train, the first time I ever took the train was in 1978. I took it to Orlando to go to Disney World. I didn't feel like driving there, and I took it to Orlando, and I believe it was about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 hours at the most, and it was fine. I didn't have any problem with that. I didn't have a bedroom.
I think train trips that are short and maybe less than 12 hours are not bad, but traveling for 3 days, it can be annoying because plus, you can't walk. You can't walk on the train very well because you got to hang on to something because you're just being jostled all over the place. And try coming down with a cup of coffee or something. You better wait until the train stops before you get coffee because you are being jostled all over the place. I don't know how these people that, you know, on the trains that deliver the food and all do that. They're delivering food and the train's being jumping all over the tracks and they got food, trays of food in their hands.
Played around this old town too long. Summer's almost gone, yeah, winter's coming on. Played around and played around this old town too long. And I feel like I gotta travel on.
Activity person on to, you know, do something to relieve, you know, those tedious amounts of boredom, you know, have some kind of activity, like maybe a murder mystery. That would be a perfect thing to have, like a, you know, murder mystery, solve who the killer was, stuff like that, or some kind
nothing.
Of activity. Yeah, wow.
They have nothing. I heard that they used to have closed circuit television, and they stopped that a few years ago. So now it's bring your own entertainment. I read... We had the DVD, you know, the portable DVD player. He basically watched that. I read a couple of books, and you know, that's what you have to do. And we talked, and you know,
I took the train to Orlando in '78, and then in the mid '80s, two different times, I took the train from Baltimore to New York. Now that's a very short trip. That's only a few hours. I just didn't want to deal with the traffic in New York, and I didn't want to pay the exorbitant parking fee. And things like that. So I decided to do that. And that wasn't bad. I mean, that wasn't a big deal. A few hours and then you're there before you know it.
Sure.
So that's not so bad. But these other two trips are really, really bizarre. Those are really, I wouldn't advise anybody to do that unless you're a real fan of trains and you think it's a great adventure to be on a train. It's
the first 2 days we just talked and talked and talked and talked. Then you get a little talked out, and then you decide, well, now what are we going to do? Okay, you watch DVDs, I'll read, you know, and then you're looking out the window, and then when it gets dark, you see nothing out the window anymore.
Well,
really
it would be great if you looked out the window and you said, oh, my God, there's the Grand Canyon. Oh, my goodness, there's the Great Lakes. Oh, my goodness, isn't that amazing? But I didn't see any of that unless it was at night.
Nothing.
Maybe it might have gone bad there at night. I have no idea.
Flat, barren land. It was
because at night you can't see anything at all out the window.
Well, the alternative would have been worse if you didn't take a plane, having to take Greyhound across. Now, Greyhound, you don't have no movement at all, and you're stuck on a bus.
The only place I've ever taken a Greyhound bus is to Atlantic City. I've never done more than that. And that, that's brutal. No, that's horrible.
I've taken bus trips, but, yeah, that's true, because it's, to me, flying's the only way to go. I love to fly. I've always loved flying.
I wanted to do it, and I'm just kind of shocked that the plane can't. I understand that you can't sit in a wheelchair in the middle of the aisle because there might be an emergency. But to think that there isn't some space in the back or somewhere where you could just sit there, I could easily have sat there for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, of course, because I did that in Pittsburgh for 7.5 hours, sat in a wheelchair in front of a seat, right in front of Lynn, and Lynn can tell you how brutally uncomfortable I was for those hours while we were traveling.
Yeah, you
were.
Terrible.
So I would have done it. So I'm a little shocked that the airlines can't provide anything like that. I guess you have to know somebody with a private plane who can take you on his own. And so that's it. So I'm glad it's over with, and I'm glad we're back on the East Coast because Seattle just wasn't a good fit for me. When I was a kid, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, my father, who worked for Standard Oil in the accounting department his entire life, was going to get transferred. There was talk that they were going to transfer people to California. And I was incredibly excited. I thought, this is going to be great, because I thought I was going to become one of the Beach Boys or something. And so I had this fancy idea that it was just going to be great. And I can't remember ever being more excited about that. And then it fell through, and we didn't go. And I was disappointed, brutally disappointed after that. I cried and everything. It was terrible. And so later on in life, I got to go, and I was sorry I went. So that just goes to show you, keep your mouth shut and stay where you are. And be happy where you are and let it go with that, because there's more excitement on the East Coast. It's as simple as that. You have access to a lot of other places. If you live in Seattle, you really can't go anywhere unless you're going up into Canada, and then you're only in British Columbia, and so you're not in the right area there either.
Honestly, Seattle is a truly, truly boring place. There is very little that happens there. I mean, it's not exciting at all. I talk to people who move there from other places, and they love it. And I've also talked to people who moved there from other places, and just like me, they hate it. I talked to a guy from Arizona. He absolutely hates Seattle. He can't wait to go back to Arizona. I talked to a woman who came here
How exciting is Arizona? I mean, I can't be too arrogant.
No, I guess not, but you know, I don't know. I don't know. He said he doesn't like all the rain in Seattle. He said, I never thought it rained as much as it does. I said, yeah. He said, I thought it was just a myth. I said, well, it's not. And then I spoke to a woman from, I forget if it was Montana. I think it was Montana. She was from Montana. She came out to Seattle because her kids lived out there. She despises it. She said, I thought this would be a great place. She said, oh, it's the worst. I got to get out of here. I don't care where I move to, either back to Montana or maybe to California or somewhere, but I cannot live in this place anymore. She says, I'm sick of looking at trees and mountains, trees and mountains, trees and mountains. I can't look at it anymore. She said, nothing happens here. I mean, I've met a few people that move there and hate it, and I met some that move there and love it. It's what you like. If you want to be around mountains and lakes and trees and nothing else, it's for you.
Well, the best
if you want a little more excitement, then it's not.
The best reason to move back here was because it's Lynn's hometown, and she knows every nook and cranny of it, and she knows people, and people know her. What is that you told me? You went to 7-Eleven and a woman recognized you? Was that 7-Eleven?
Oh, yeah.
So people are...
Wow, 3 years later, she...
Yeah.
Oh,
what
the
are you
same
doing
people.
Back there? Yeah.
Same people still work there, yeah. And the same guy still works in a pizza place. I went into a pizza place that I used to go to. It was right around the corner from where my ex-husband lives with my cats. I saw my cats, by the way, all of it. Oh, I love them. And I walked in the pizza place, and the guy said, "When?" And I said, "George." He said, "What are you doing back?" I said, "I came back." He said, "We missed you." I missed it here.
Peace out.
you, this is some of the best food in the world is here, so you got to take that into account too. And yeah. Seattle doesn't have a whole lot of memorable food. I mean, the food here is fabulous, providing, of course, that you like high-fat, high-calorie food, like pizza and cheesesteaks. But
and you're in a sports area too, where you got everything from hockey to basketball to football, baseball. So,
yeah, well, nobody wants to talk about the Eagles. That's too horrible to talk about.
Excuse my coughing, Robert. I'm just having one of those post-cold coughs. Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, you told me you had colds. So sorry to hear about that. Hopefully, we'll get over.
Yeah, we both managed to get sick. I'm glad it's over with, but I still haven't recovered from it. I don't know why. I have some sort of train leg. I still just feel tired, and we've been here now for. Well, we've been in this apartment for 10 days, but we've actually been back for 3 weeks because we were in our hotel for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So after 3 weeks, I still haven't gotten over the train ride. And hopefully someday I will. But it was just very, very long, and I just need to put it behind me.
As I said, we finally got our Philly cheesesteak, which was like heaven. And we finally got a really good pizza.
There you
go.
Yeah,
but both were as good as advertised, I must admit. So.
Outstanding pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the food here is great. And Seattle is not known for their great cuisine. They are
not
really.
All you
have
to do is set aside some money when the snow comes so you have someone to shovel the sidewalk.
Oh, well, I hope the apartment building does that.
Yeah, we would hope that's true. I don't know. I was never in any really bad snowstorms in Seattle that I can recall.
I do have my own parking spot, though.
Yes, Lynn has her own parking spot. And people will probably say, big deal. But it is a big deal because in the apartment building where we lived at, it was first come, first serve, which can really be a nightmare. And that really is awful if you come home and you don't have anywhere to park. So now we have a parking place, and we're on the fifth floor instead of the
tenth floor.
So we're not quite as high up as we used to be. And
we get to look out at blue skies and sunshine. Not gray skies every day.
Yeah, there have been a few cloudy days here, but basically it's been sunny almost about 90% of the time since we got here.
Yeah.
Now you guys have to go out and get yourself a tree and set it up and decorate for next holiday coming up. So.
Well, I think I'll let the building do that. There's a lot of things here.
We might have to do without that this year because I still got to find places for everything. I have stuff to put on the door and all, you know, a few little decorations, but I think we might have to pass on the tree this year.
Mm.
Next year we'll do it.
So
we were all concerned. I'm glad you guys made it okay. We were on the boards concerned and
hopefully my brain will catch up to me someday because I think it's somewhere out in the Midwest. And hopefully it'll get here someday. Now, what is the other thing you wanted to discuss, the formation of the group?
You gentlemen, of course, know how to push a product. That essentially is your job. My presence here is for much the same purpose, simply to push a product. To acquaint you with an entertainment product, which we hope and which we rather expect will make your product pushing that much easier. What you're about to see, gentlemen, is a series called The Twilight Zone. We think it's a rather special kind of series. Essentially, people watch television to get entertained. And the keynote of this series, the thing we're concerned with, the thing we're aiming for, the thing we're working toward, is entertainment. This is a series for the storyteller, because it's our thinking that an audience will always sit still and listen and watch a well-told story. All I can tell you is that we think The Twilight Zone is pretty unique. We think it'll be much talked about, and we think it'll also be enjoyed. We think it's the kind of a show that will put people on the edge of their seats, but only for that one half an hour. We fully expect they'll go to the stores on the following day and buy your products. We think it's that kind of a show.
Yeah, let's go into the second.
Well, the only reason I formed a group was because I'd already formed a group for The Fugitive, and that was a success to a degree. So I figured if that was a success, why not do one for The Twilight Zone? And that's what I did.
Now, did the board come about from the Talking Twilight Zone? Did Talking Twilight Zone come about
No, the radio show came later.
Yeah.
No, because we had a radio show for The Fugitive.
Oh, wow.
I had one there until we finally... it was run through an actual radio station online, And then they didn't want to do it anymore. So in order to continue it, we had to go to Talk Shoe and set it up there. And then after that, I decided to do it also for the Twilight Zone. And that's basically how it came to be. But setting up a I went back, actually, at the group yesterday, back to 2009, to the first couple of posts. And it's interesting that a lot of the people who posted at the beginning are no longer around. Yeah, I don't know whether they're members or not, but they sure don't post anymore. So they primarily lost interest. But that's how that came about. I just figured if I could do it for one show, I would do it for the other. And that's where we are right now.
Was it for the love of the show that you did it? Or
well, to me,
were you trying to show something with
in my lifetime, growing up especially, those were the two best TV shows. So if somebody said, pick two TV shows from the years when you were growing up, those are the two I would pick. So it was only natural that I would do groups for both of them. That's how that came to be. I just did it because I don't remember how I started the feud. I didn't know what I was doing, I'm sure of that. And I just started it. I didn't think anybody would ever join it, to tell you the truth. I thought to myself, this would be a waste of time. But to my great surprise, people did. And, you know, it's still running, even though there isn't. We did reviews of all the 120 episodes. That's all done years ago. But people still post there and still, you know, still talk about it from time to time. I don't have a whole lot to offer. But, you know, it's called The Fugitive Views and Reviews, if anybody wants to check it out. And, yeah, it's a success. And now we're on the Twilight Zone. And I think, as far as the radio show is concerned, I think we got about 2 years to go on this, doing it every other week the way we're doing, I think.
Yeah,
we got like 4 episodes left to do written reviews, and I think, what, 9 to record yet? Something like that, before we go into season 4, something like that.
You mean as far as doing reviews? I think, well, right now we're in season 3.
Right.
We're getting close to the end. I think after To Serve Man,
we
only have 5 more to go.
Mm-hmm. In season 3, then we've got season 4.
Yeah, the 18 one-hour ones. Boy, does that be fun.
Yeah. Well, there were 1 or 2 I didn't think were bad, but the rest are pretty hard.
Seconds, minutes, hours. They crawl by on hands and knees for Mr. Henry Bemis, who looks for a spark in the ashes of a dead world. A telephone connected to nothingness. A neighborhood bar, a movie, a baseball diamond, a hardware store. The mailbox of what was once his house and is now a rubble. They lie at his feet as battered monuments to what was but is no more.
Helen! Helen! Where are you?
Mr. Henry Bemis on an 8-hour tour of a graveyard.
Thankfully, I was hoping we would come back to do reviews after being off for so long and have something good to talk about. Unfortunately, we had that dreadful The Dummy thing, which is on the board at the moment.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we have To Serve Man coming up on Saturday, so finally there's something worth talking about.
Just to say, Robert was saying before you came on, Bobby, that he was at curious to see what Helen would say about The Dummy, and I said most likely she'll go along with whatever Kelly, because, you know, she usually... whatever Kelly's rating is, that's what Helen's rating is.
Well, now, Willie, I think it would be very nice if you'd say goodnight and thank you to all these wonderful, wonderful people.
You can do anything I can do better? All right, wise guy. Can you do this? Come around tomorrow night, folks. I'll be alone, just you and me.
Yeah, Willie, well, I think, little pal, we better cut out, huh?
Let me tell you something, folks. As soon as I shake this pusher and get me a real act, you're going to see some class.
Well, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen.
Help! I'm being kidnapped! Call my lawyer! Call my doctor! Never mind! Just get me to the nurse on time!
Well, people at IMDb really liked it. They gave it 7.2. And they thought it was creepy and scary. And I, like I said in my review, I never liked ventriloquist even when I was a kid. I just think it was fascinating to see a guy on the stage
with his
hand behind a wooden dummy trying to pretend he wasn't talking. And it just never impressed me, I thought.
I didn't like them either.
The only time that I ever saw them was on Ed Sullivan and shows like that, and I didn't think they were terribly impressive. But this thing just drags on. It just doesn't go anywhere. The ending is obvious. You know that that's going to be a turnaround. Yeah. That dummy's going to take over.
Right, exactly.
And,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Robert. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think there's another one. I think, isn't it in season 5 with the dummy again and the girl?
Yeah,
the
Caesar
girl
and Me. Caesar and Me with Jackie Cooper.
Is that, well, that's season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
God, I don't remember that at all. They actually did another one
Caesar
with the dummy.
Yeah, the one with Jackie Cooper. You remember that with the little girl?
I
me and you, kid, are
going
to go
to
the bar,
not,
she tells the girl.
The plot is not coming back to me.
Yeah, Jackie Cooper, he lives in an apartment, and this little girl keeps tormenting him.
Well, that's a pretty stupid thing to do, that plot device, twice.
It's like Dave said, the two bites of the cherry situation where, you know, you use the script twice. So
exactly, and they use the same dummy in it.
Hey, Garibaldi! Didn't you forget someone? Didn't you forget Willie? I was waiting for you. Yeah, that's right. I was waiting for you.
The line is, this is so sudden. And in this case, it happens to be sudden.
No, I was waiting for you because I want to have a drink with you, Noreen. Or maybe a sandwich or something, you know? No, Noreen, you're a good kid, and I've always thought you were a good kid, and I've always wanted to...
Easy, maybe Jerry.
Have a drink with...
Easy.
No, honey, listen... Wait a minute, Noreen. Look.
What's the matter with you, Jerry?
There's nothing the matter with me.
Sick?
No, I'm not
sick.
I just want to have a drink with you. Don't you understand? I don't want to be alone. I keep hearing those voices. That Willie is bugging me.
Jerry.
No, wait a minute.
No.
That Willie is bugging me.
Go.
Wait a minute. What?
No. That was stupid.
Yeah, I don't like that one either. But yeah, that's how Bobby and I met through the Twilight Zone group.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, Lynn. Because I know you were email writer and stuff into the show at the beginning.
Yeah, well, I was one of the first people to join. There were, I guess you had something like 10, 11 members. Well, maybe not. You had about 9 members. I might have been the 9th or 10th one to join, I guess. And you wrote to me and thanked me for joining and for posting a few things and, you know, showing enthusiasm for the group because I love the Twilight Zone so much. I mean, as soon as another member who joined told me about it, a friend of mine who was also a big Twilight Zone fan, he joined, and then he emailed me, and he says, hey, I thought maybe you'd be interested in joining this group. And I said, yeah, thanks a lot. Unfortunately, this friend of mine passed away a year and a half ago. Actually, two years ago. This friend of mine passed away 2 years ago, and he was a huge Twilight Zone fan, a very good friend of mine, John Letier. You remember him, Bobby?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and he told me about it, and I started posting, and Bobby wrote to me telling me he was very happy to see that I was enthusiastic about it. And I said, well, don't worry. I said, more people will join. I'll try to keep the conversation going. And then we ended up, for some reason, we just started emailing each other off the board, just as friends, just talking to each other. Because we had that common interest in the Twilight Zone. We had a few other things in common. We'd be East Coast and that kind of thing. And we just started talking. And we became friends, and then it just grew from there.
Yeah, and Lynn begged me to marry her, so I did.
Yeah, right.
Many women had done that with me, but I decided it was time to put an end to that. So I decided to settle down and broke hearts. Broke a lot of hearts in the group, but that's the way it goes.
You and Warren, baby, I know.
Tired of the swinging bachelor life, Bobby, huh?
I begged her to marry me, yeah. It was obvious.
Jim. From Beatty.
So that's how the group started. You never know what's going to come from that. So I, you know, that's the deal. So that's it. So when the group ends, hopefully we won't be getting divorced. I think the only thing keeping us together is the group, but we'll find out.
Probably.
We'll find out what happens once the review's in.
I'm sending you back to Seattle.
Because I don't know what else we have in common, and I'll take care of that. So that's my tale of woe. I survived coming across the country, and I don't know how. So I figured out I've traveled about 7,000, somewhere around 7,500 miles over the past 14 years, which is I've moved five times to three different states. I have no idea what I think I'm doing. And that's really ironic because the first 51 years of my life was spent in the same city. And I never dreamed I'd move anywhere, and all of a sudden I find myself jumping all over the country. It's very bizarre.
Well, I never did either. The first 51 years of my life were spent at least on the East Coast, basically in the same city. I mean, Philadelphia and a couple of little towns on the outskirts, but I never thought I'd move ever. I'm just glad to be back home. I really am.
Well, the fact that I came all the way to Seattle indicates how bad it was in Florida. I really didn't want to come across the country, but I had no choice.
Yeah.
But, all's well, ends well, as they say, and so we're here now. And though we may move to a different apartment building one day, I'm not moving out of the state, that's for sure.
No, we are not moving out of state again. If we move anywhere, it's going to be close by, another apartment building close by, but I don't expect to do that for a long time either.
I've had enough of that, so I've moved enough times. I'm glad Lynn's back here because it's good to be in a place you're familiar with. And it works for her. And like I said, as soon as I get over the train ride, not so much the time difference that's bothering me at all, although I did get used to watching pro football on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and now I got to go back to watching it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon again. But, that'll come to me after a while because some things are just – most things are repeated out on the West Coast, but the live events are not. So if you're watching football on Sunday afternoon, it's still on at 10 o'clock in the morning, not at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that took a long time to get used to, although I finally did. So I'm here. My advice to everybody is, going to take the train? Sure. Take it to New York or some close place, and that's fine. But if you're going to travel long distance, take the plane. Do yourself a favor, because you don't know what you're in for. So I wouldn't do it.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't. From the
what I'm looking forward
like
to.
Through.
What I'm looking forward to is seeing the ball drop Times Square and seeing it live, because I've always seen it live every year, and for the last three New Year's Eves now, 2011, 2012. Well, the last two New Year's Eves, I did not get to see it live, and I missed that.
Yeah, because it's 3 hours, where it'd be midnight here, it'd be 9 o'clock over there, so yeah.
Right, and I really, really miss that, so I'll be looking forward to seeing that again, because the fireworks that they do from the Space Needle, nothing compared to what they do in Times Square, and also at the Philadelphia Art Museum, they do this amazing, out in the parkway in Philadelphia, they do this amazing fireworks show every year, and they can't even compare to that. In Seattle with the Space Needle. It just doesn't do it.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it. Not
the bottom line is that Rocky and his wife are back in Philadelphia. So.
Rocky and Adrian, right?
Yo, Adrian. Yo.
Yo, Adrian. Hey, Paulie, your sister's with me.
Go meet house and start beating on some beef.
Little
work out there. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on today. I know, like I said, you guys were fighting colds or still are, and unpacking, trying to find where to put everything. So I'm glad you were able to take the time today to come on and talk a little bit. As I said before, we were going to keep this feed running, which we're going to put some shows and stuff together, and this is kind of the last one before we're all back together again Saturday for the Talking Twilight Zone. So definitely look forward to Saturday where we get back on our every other week situation. So hopefully we'll have everybody join us then. So I want to thank you two for coming on today. And
for doing the show.
We'll see you on Saturday.
See you all on Saturday. So.
Okay.
Thank you guys again for coming on. And we'll
thank
see
you.
You then.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. This was a Time Mind production.
Better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's talk, like I'm doing now, and shoe, as on your feet, .com.